This is Marie Miller, and you're listening to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Hey there, this is Wesley Ryan, and you're listening to a brand new episode of the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, a one-hour journey into some of the most positive messages in some of my favorite songs, as well as the moving stories and inspirations of the artists who've created them. This week, I am happy to share music from and share my exclusive interview with an amazing artist who I've just discovered. Of the many, many, many things I will be eternally grateful to American Idol winner Chris Allen for, beyond literally oodles of songs that move me to tears, I now get to be thankful that he introduced me to the incredible Marie Miller. She opened for Chris on their recent Something About Christmas tour, and from the second she took the stage, I knew I had to get her on the show. And in case the fact that Chris chose her to open for him doesn't sell you enough, it should, by the way. Let me tell you that I've been to almost 100 concerts in my life, and at each of those concerts, I've seen some great opening acts. But it is incredibly rare that someone who I've never heard going into a show immediately becomes one of my favorite artists by the time I leave. And that is the case with Marie Miller. To continue the American Idol references, Marie has what Simon Cowell would have called the X Factor. And yeah, I'm aware I just said American Idol and X Factor in the same sentence without the tiniest bit of irony, but I can't stress enough just how special Marie is. I'll be playing some of her music for you in the next hour, featuring a tune that literally brought me to tears the first time I heard it, and we'll get into some pretty heavy conversations as well. But before we get too deep, let's have a little fun with the very first track from Marie's latest album, Letterbox. It's not only one of her favorite songs to perform live, it kicked off the Something About Christmas tour with an infectious energy that swept over the entire crowd. Kicking off a one-hour tribute to the music and inspirations of Marie Miller, here she is with This Side of Paradise. Well, I've been listening to that. I've been listening to all the songs on your latest album, which I love. You're such a great songwriter. I was hoping you could talk to me about your songwriting process.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Where I'm from in Nashville, there's people that go in at 10 o'clock in the morning and write songs Monday through Friday, just like it's a normal job. And I am not that writer. So for me, something has to really affect me and change me and move me for me to want to write about it. And because I'm such a high emotion person, there's a lot of things that move me. So that means I do write a lot, but I can't just sit down and be like, I want to write a song today. It's like something has to just reach me and break my heart or inspire me or heal me for me to want to write about it. So, you know, all the songs that are on Letterboxd, the newest album and anything I've written before that, those are, you know, very much me bearing myself to the world. Those aren't things that are written in a vacuum by any stretch.
Well, I'm so excited to play Glitter Gold for my listeners, but I want to play some other tracks too. Do you have other favorites from Letterboxd?
Ooh, let's see. I never get to pick. This is awesome. A song that we've had a lot of fun with is a song called This Side of Paradise, the first track on the album, and it's inspired by F. Scott Fitzgerald, who I love, a great writer, you know, writer of The Great Gatsby, and he has an autobiography called This Side of Paradise, and it's just kind of like a party song, which I don't always write, so it was really fun to write about just like, hey, who cares what anyone else thinks, we're just going to enjoy the moonlight tonight, and that was fun.
Well, I have to say that one of the highlights for me was hearing you perform Glitter Gold. I literally got goosebumps when I heard that song.
Thank you so much. You know, I know, I remember telling people that's my favorite song to sing, and it's probably my favorite song that I've written, or one of them, and so it was like super happy, like I was so excited when you came up and said, I love Glitter Gold, because I'm like, me too, and I just like want people to hear that song and love that song, like I love it, so I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it hit me on a personal level. Yeah, I've lived an interesting life, and I'm happy to be making some healthier decisions these days than I've made in the past, but I think so many people connect to looking at people that you care about and knowing that, you know, the person that you love is still in there, but whatever has gotten in the way of that, you know, is preventing you from that relationship. So it really was moving.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's hopefully a hopeful song where, you know, you're meeting someone where they are and not saying, okay, you're all okay and everything's great, but being like, hey, come home. Like that's the bridge. All I say is come home, come home, come home, because, you know, not giving up on that person, I'm sure and maybe you could relate to this, is that it probably really helped as you were going through whatever you were going through, having people that didn't give up on you. And so that's kind of the hope of that song, is to be a friend through whatever we're going through. I mean, I've gone through stuff too, and having those people that stand by you no matter what.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's the people that know the real you, because I had people who were supporting my unhealthy decisions, and it was easy to focus on those. So I needed the ones who were my true friends to be as loud as they could.
Right, so true.
I am so excited that I saw Something About Christmas tour for many reasons, one of which is that I was introduced to you and your amazing music.
Oh my gosh, that was such a fun show and so warm. <It's> like we loved it. I did a my favorite shows for the whole tour. So we did 14 shows with Chris Allen, and it was really, really awesome to open for him. And Tampa and Chicago, we did like, it was funny, we did a whole like ranking game. You guys tied for first. So, and I, and for many reasons, but it was so special. It was such a cool venue and really intimate and just a beautiful crowd. So it was awesome.
Well, just based on my own personal experiences with Chris, I know him as a very funny person. So I'm hoping you have some kind of funny tidbit or story that you can share.
Sure, I do. He was the funniest the last night in Atlanta. Our last night was December 22nd. So we're all going to go home for Christmas, you know, the next day. And he decided to come out my second to last song with a saxophone and play it, but he actually doesn't play the saxophone. So he just sort of like blew on a horn with like no direction at all, but like completely serious. And I, of course, couldn't really play the rest of the song. I was just cracking up. So it was really cute.
I can only imagine what that was like.
Yeah.
Well, his saxophone probably didn't make your list of favorite Chris Allen tunes, but do you have one?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. For the Christmas tour, I think my favorite song is Baby It Ain't Christmas Without You, which is not on the new album, but it's a single that he has up, and it's just a really sweet little song, so that's an original of his that I really like.
I love that one. I also love If We Keep Doing Nothing. That's a song I've loved from him for a while. It's such an important message.
Totally. Yeah, it's a great song.
Okay. I'm going to try to get through this next segment without crying and or screaming at the top of my lungs. When I first started doing this show, it would often amaze me that sometimes the episodes I'd scripted and the interviews I'd done allowed me to play songs that unfortunately, and at the time I thought coincidentally, spoke to a major problem our country was facing. What I have now realized a few years into the show is the reason that happens is because we have so many problems that we are not making any progress on whatsoever. I am recording this particular episode just a few days after the school shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. I've said this on the show before, there is not one single issue currently facing our country that can be solved with the quick snap of a finger. And I have also said, mostly as a disclaimer, that I do not have all the answers and I don't pretend to. What I do know is that we currently live in a time where the people who lead our country appear to view the difficulty in changing some of these issues as a reason to not even try. I am a proud Virginia Tech Hokie, and I left Virginia Tech just a few months before the shooting that occurred there. Watching the buildings that I'd went to and people I knew on the news talk about something so horrific I can't even imagine what it's like changed me. And again, I can't imagine how it changed the people who were actually there. Flash forward a few years, and a club I've been to several times in Orlando, the Pulse Nightclub, was yet another scene of the exact same tragedy. And here we are, once again, in this place of something so horrible has happened, there's no quick immediate answer to do something, and we find ourselves in this, oh my gosh, how horrible, my thoughts and prayers are with you, let's move on, cycle that apparently some people think is okay. Again, I'm not speaking for anybody who's been through a tragedy like that. I can listen to them, I can empathize with them, but I, nor you, know what that's like unless you've been in that situation. So those are the people we should be listening to. And I am so incredibly proud of and inspired by the survivors of this recent school shooting and the parents who've lost their children. These are not numbers, folks. These are not statistics. Every single life mattered. Every single life had so much potential, and the loss of every single life destroyed countless others. Listening to 12-year-old children get on the news and say things that I can't find adults in leadership positions willing to say actually gives me hope for our country. But I don't want to wait 4 or 5 years until these incredibly intelligent and motivated people can vote. We as adults need to listen to these children who are so much more informed on so many issues than we are. So many of them can't understand why bigotry exists, why we try to ban people of a religion from entering our country. These are children who don't understand why someone in their teen should have access to a weapon that can take the lives of dozens of people in a matter of minutes. They are not willing to accept, "we can't do anything about this," or "we're not even sure it will work," as an excuse not to try. So for them, and for each and every one of us, I'm about to play a song I've played before on this show, and I would love to, one day, never feel compelled to play it, because it wouldn't be necessary. But right now, it absolutely is. I ask you not just to listen to the words of the next song you're about to hear, but to open yourself up to thinking about them, what they actually mean, and what you and each of us can do. Because as Chris Allen says, if we keep doing nothing, nothing will ever change.
No, we can't just stay the same. No, we can't let tomorrow be another today. If we keep doing nothing, then nothing will ever change.
Well, I also really connected to Story. That one, just the lyrics of that one especially, were fun but very moving at the same time.
That one, I call it my nerdy song too, because there are references to the Iliad, so, you know, all the way back, Greek, you know, epics, and then also Lord of the Rings. There's a line that says, "There's a ring to be destroyed, and you're the boy, you know, who can fight any dragon he meets." So, you know, that's getting pretty, like, in the Nerdville. There's a Wuthering Heights reference. I loved writing that song because I really want to live life in an epic way and an adventurous way, and because I love to read, and so, and I read these stories about these people doing marvelous things, and, you know, James the Giant Peach, marvelous things will happen. And I want to live that life. And so it was fun to put in a lot of the books I'd read into a song and kind of imagine yourself, you know, as being remembered like the stories you've read.
Well, I love that there's a lot of literature influence in your music, but one of my favorite things to do is to talk to the artists I like about the songs and the artists that inspired them growing up. So can you give me a few songs that really meant a lot to you as a kid?
Yes. I remember listening to Louis Armstrong when I was 11 years old. I got a CD from my parents. It was just one of those, like, 20th century, like, compilation, all the Louis Armstrong songs. And A Kiss to Build a Dream On was one of them. The Way You Look Tonight, and those really old songs that are so melodically brilliant. I listened to, like, James Taylor, and Fire and Rain is just, I don't even know what it means. It's just neat, but it just, like, every time I hear it, he has such a unique, beautiful way of playing finger-style guitar, and so you just know it as soon as you hear it. That's him, and it's, yeah, really soothing and calming, I think. The Dixie Chicks. I just love the Dixie Chicks growing up. Heartbreak Town, which is kind of like a later song on Fly, is melodically just life-changing. So good.
Yeah, I love that song. Did you happen to catch the Crossroads they did together? It was at least 10 years ago.
No, is it James Taylor and Dixie Chicks?
Yes, I think you can buy the album on iTunes, and I'm sure it's on YouTube, so you have to check that out.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for that tip. That's awesome. I didn't know that. I love Crossroads, too. That's funny. I didn't see that.
It brings me so much joy to play the next three songs for you all. Before I play one of Marie Miller's favorite James Taylor tunes, Fire and Rain, and one of her favorite Dixie Chicks tracks, Heartbreak Town, I'm delighted to play my favorite tune from the aforementioned James Taylor Dixie Chicks CMT Crossroads special. There are so many great tracks to check out from that collaboration, but my favorite unites them on a track all about regret, remorse, and the power of realizing just how important someone is to you. Songs like this are definitely very sad, particularly if you can relate to them, but what they can also do is help us keep that perspective in the front of our minds, and to appreciate what we have while we have it. This is James Taylor and the Dixie Chicks with A Home.
I listen to my pride when my heart cried out for you. Now
sunny days that I thought would never end. I seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again.
You talked about James Taylor's guitar style, but I know you've been playing music and instruments a long time. You play the guitar and the mandolin. When did you pick those up?
I started playing when I was about mandolin about 11 and the guitar about 13. It's always been a big part of performing and stuff was that my dad said, like, you know, like, don't just sing, like, play too. And I just wanted to be a singer. But I took his advice, and I'm so happy I did, because when you're traveling and opening shows and things like I do, it's great to be able to play yourself. Then as a songwriter, too, you know, to not need anybody to play the instruments for you has been huge. And I love it. I love playing my guitar. I mean, I also play piano, too, which I'm been getting more into lately. And it's very life enriching. Great. It's so much fun.
Well, I love that you thanked your family in the liner notes for Letterboxd. And then, you know, I'm sure they love hearing you play. I loved hearing you play. But you told a story about playing for the Pope.
Yes. Yeah. So it was incredible. About 2 years ago, Pope Francis came to the United States. If you guys remember that, he was in New York and D.C. and Philadelphia. And I got a call from the promoter for this event called Festival of Families. And he had heard my song, which is called 6'2", on the radio. And said, hey, we love that song. We want you to play it for Pope Francis and your song, You're Not Alone. And the other artists we have lined up are Aretha Franklin and Andre Bocelli. Jim Gaffigan is doing comedy. The Fray performed. So it was this incredible lineup. And I just, to this day, have no idea how, I mean, there were other smaller artists that performed that day, but I was the only artist that wasn't like a legend almost that performed for him. And then I also performed two songs, and ultimately they had to shorten the TV because it was like on CNN and Fox and stuff. So it was getting too long for television. And so I'm actually the only performer that performed two songs. Everyone else, like Aretha Franklin, only got to do one song for Pope Francis. Pretty hilarious.
Well, in psychology, we talk a lot about peak experiences, and I can only imagine what that one's like for you.
It really was. It was a month long of like joy, and my whole family was there, and it was like a very pivotal experience, like for better or for worse. Like I had kind of been thinking maybe I didn't want to do music anymore. I'm from a really small town and there's a lot of settling down that happens, which I love. Like I love getting married and having babies and that's all good. And so I was kind of in that point of trying to decide if I wanted to do that with someone. And that experience kind of catalyzed a lot of other opportunities. And so it ended up that we like went more music that way. And so It has this really kind of epic connotation to it when I think about performing for Pope Francis. And he's such a cool person, like mission-oriented and so into helping people that it was like really special. And it kind of seems like, okay, music is my mission. It kind of became more of that after that performance. So that was really cool.
I love that. I love when an unexpected moment like that just changes the course of your life in ways you can never anticipate. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
In humanistic psychology, we talk a lot about peak experiences, those often indescribable moments that you can't believe are happening, that you have a hard time putting into words, and that somehow give you a fresh perspective on life, or perhaps even help you define your existence. Now, we haven't all played for the Pope, I know I certainly haven't, but listening to Marie talk about her peak experiences reminded me of some of mine. What are those moments that brought me so much joy, and what insight can they bring me about how to continue to steer the rest of my life to create more of those moments? Perhaps you'll ask yourself those questions as we listen to the next two tracks, or perhaps you may even have one listening to these two fantastic tracks. This is Marie Miller with You're Not Alone and 6'2".
Marry me on an April night, but Lord, take your sweet, sweet time. You're not alone.
My favorite artist right now and for a long time is Sarah Bareilles. I tell people I love to talk about the power of music, which was so cool when you asked me to be on the podcast because I love talking about this. but I had gone through like a pretty traumatic experience about a year and a half ago, and she used to be mine by Sarah Bareilles, literally saved me. It was crazy. Even though I've been in music my whole life, it had an incredible amount of power, and it was not only because as a listener, it moved me, but then to be able to sing it was just this really incredible healing process. So that probably of all the songs has been a big part of the power of music and how it can heal and inspire us.
Oh, I love that story so much. Yeah, I think I shared with you that, you know, I've had depression for most of my life. And so music, really, songs have saved my life literally so many times. And I know that's true for so many people. So I love that so much. Sarah has a song called Gravity, which moves me to tears every single time I hear it.
I know. Oh my gosh, that song is so good.
Okay, now that my eyes are literally sore from crying, thanks to two great tracks from Sarah Bareilles, Gravity and She Used to Be Mine, let's get back to a slightly more fun topic, or topics, as the case may be, as Marie and I got the chance to not only talk about musicals, but also Taylor Swift.
Well, you know, you mentioned Sarah Bareilles, but who are some of the other artists that you're listening to right now?
That's a great question. I listen to a lot of Sarah Bareilles. but I've been actually getting really into musicals lately. So I killed Dear Evan Hansen. I listened to it so much, which is a musical that's on Broadway right now. Ben Platt, who is a great singer and actor, was on Pitch Perfect, and he was the lead in that. He's amazing. And actually, Anastasia, cartoon or whatever, they added some songs and just incredible music, even the cartoon and incredible music. So that's on Broadway right now. So I listen to that a ton. My workout music is just total pop, fun stuff. So, like, you know, Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift. And you're not, like, listening to, like, Mozart or something, you know? Taylor Swift's new album, there's so much attitude. So it's like nice because when you're working out, like you're just like punching stuff and you're like, girl power, girl. I don't listen to it much outside of that. But for working out, it's perfect.
I have listened to Reputation every day at the gym for the last 2 months. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Yep. They're burning all the witches even if you aren't. They got their pitchforks and proof, their receipts and reasons. They're burning all the witches, even if you aren't one.
Can we expect any new music from you on the way?
Oh my gosh. I've been recording, like demoing a lot of music, and so I could see some singles coming out in the nearer future, but not like crazy near. Letterbox came out April 29th of 2017, and so it'll be a little bit before a new album comes out, I think, probably another year. But I'm also always, like, I do acoustic versions of new songs that I've written. I do that on YouTube and my Instagram and Facebook and stuff, because I just like to throw new stuff out there, even if it's not produced yet.
Where could someone go to find out more about your music and hear the latest stuff?
My website is mariemillermusic.com, and my Instagram is mariemillersing. And facebook.com/MarieMiller. Twitter is Marie Miller, although I don't spend a ton of time on Twitter. Instagram and Facebook I'm a bit better at. YouTube, too. We're releasing a video a month right now of some studio, like live studio stuff. So we came out with Perfect, Ed Sheeran cover, and then some really old covers. I have my duet with Chris Allen on there as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll be waiting for the I Did Something Bad cover. Hopefully that makes the cut.
Ooh, yeah.
So I want to say thank you again to Marie Miller, not just for agreeing to take the time to chat with me for the show, but more importantly, for opening up for Chris Allen and giving me the gift and so many others of her amazing music. I definitely hope you go to mariemillermusic.com to check out her recent album Letterbox and to keep tabs on her what I know will be amazing upcoming music. I urge you to head to YouTube right now and to watch the performance of the last song I'm about to play on this week's episode. To bring it full circle, I'm going to close the show with Marie's duet with Chris Allen, Wasting Away. One of the reasons why I encourage you to head to YouTube to watch the video of the two singing it live highlights one of the things I love about both Marie Miller and Chris Allen. These folks don't only write great music, they don't only sing great music, they feel great music. One of the reasons why Chris Allen was American Idol was because watching him perform, you felt every ounce of energy, heart, and soul he was putting into those songs. He had such a way of making you feel whatever emotion he was putting into the song. And folks, please believe me when I say Marie Miller is equally amazing at doing just that. Again, hopefully you'll check out mariemillermusic.com, and for more episodes of this show, make sure you head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com. Thanks again to Marie, and thanks again to each of you for listening. For The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Wasting Away, this is Chris Allen and Marie Miller.
Can't you see my
This is Marie Miller, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Lord,